I want you to turn with us to Psalms 145. I want to read the first 10 verses of Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we come to thee at the close of this another Lord's Day to give thee praise and to give thee thanksgiving that thou art God and beside thee there's none other. To thank thee for the liberty we yet have in this country to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to warn men of the coming danger and doom that is upon us. Our Father and our God, we do not know how long thou wilt put up with this nation and all of its rebellion against thee, how long you will put up with any one of us. But we do look to thee tonight, that while you yet tarry, and while it is yet day, and while there is yet light, and while there is yet that freedom and liberty to preach thy word, may we preach it in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Lord, would you forgive us of our sins tonight, especially the sins of our tongue? Oh, what an instrument it is. It gets us in so much trouble. We ask you to forgive us of our sins of the tongue, our sins of the eyes, our sins of the mind, our secret sins and our presumptuous sins. And Lord, that sin that does so easily beset us, and you know what it is, and we ask that thou forgive us and cleanse us. Cleanse us, Lord, from our prayerlessness. Cleanse us, Lord, for not praising thee more and giving thee thanksgiving more. And we do pray that as we speak thy word tonight, our hearts will be filled with thy praise and thy glory, and we will remember that thou art God, and beside thee there's none other. We will remember thy great acts and all of thy goodness toward us, and give thee glory and give thee praise. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. I finished reading through the Psalms this week, taking a few every day, meditating upon them. And I was impressed, as I read through the last of these Psalms, how many times we are told to praise the Lord. In this Psalm, I will extol thee, my God, O King, I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Look how 46, 47, 48, 49, and 150. Look with me, will you? How each one of them begins. Praise ye the Lord. Look how each one of them ends. Praise ye the Lord. 146, the same thing in 147, 148, 149, and when you get to 150, Every verse says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the tremble and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Isn't that something? What do you think God wants us to do? We're to praise Him. We're to give thanks unto Him for all that He is and all that He's done and all that He has said for us. Psalms 92 says it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. For Thou, Lord, hast made me glad. I will triumph in the works of Thy hands. The Lord is to be praised. The Lord's dealings with us makes thanksgiving and praise on our part the only fitting thing that you and I should do. I somehow believe in my own soul that our failure to return thanks unto God, who daily loadeth us with His benefits, is just as much sin as a definite disobedience of God's command to steal or to murder. And when we get through tonight, I trust that you will feel the same identical way. Now, no way can we preach a message like we preached this morning. Those come along once in a while. And God deals with our hearts. I trust that God took it home to our hearts so we'll not be able to get away from it. But in thinking upon that message this morning, as I meditated this afternoon, and meditating upon the Psalms that we went over in this last week, I was made to think upon God's goodness and upon God's mercy toward us, and to remember that God has commanded us in everything to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then He gives a definite command in Psalms 100 and verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. I think the blessing of the Lord fully rests upon us if we are constantly like the one of the 10 lepers whom the Lord healed, who came back to give Him praise, to give Him grace, and to give Him glory. Don't you? Where are the other 9? One came back to thank Him and to give Him praise. Do we just stop to thank God when we give a meal, when we have a meal? Or is our heart filled with praise and thanksgiving throughout the day as afflictions or trials or troubles come upon us, as God's goodness dawns in upon us? I made a habit a long time ago, when I open the mail, whatever is in that mail, in that letter, before I open it, I said, Lord, thank You for what's in here. If nothing's in there, I'll staple that letter to the envelope and I'll put it in the pile, and with a thanks to the Lord, thank You, Lord, that You withheld. And I have opened the mail and have found many a check that was for good amounts, and I have found the widow's mite, and I've found the $5 and the $10 and the $100, and I've opened letters after letter where there was nothing in it, but I've made it a habit over the years to thank God for every letter that comes in and for whatever is in there or what He has withholden that was not there. I think that's a good practice. For us to give thanks unto the Lord, to render thanks unto Him, and for our hearts to go out to Him in praise and in glory. Now, our attitude should be, I'm going to quote a lot of Scripture tonight, because the Scripture's filled. And what I want to do, I want to go through, and they're mostly in the Psalms. If you want to take them down, I'll give them to you. I have them all written out. But I want to go through, and I want to show you tonight, by the grace of God, how that every one of God's attributes, we're to praise God for it. Because it is commanded us in the Word of God. Now, our attitude should be like the psalmist. And I wish you'd turn with me there in your Bibles to Psalm 57:7. And this should be our motto. This should be our cry that God would give us such a heart as this that the psalmist spoke of in Psalm 57:7. Look at what he said. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. Fixed to do what? I will sing and give praise. That's grace. You know that? My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and I will give praise. Now, this goes along with 1 Thessalonians 5:18, doesn't it? In all things, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. My heart is fixed. O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise unto Thee. And then we should hear the admonition. We should hear the commandment. We should hear what God tells us in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Look at it in your Bible. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, that is, by Christ, therefore, let us do what? Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Both of them are there. By Christ, we are to offer up what He claims to be a sacrifice. And a sacrifice is something that we do and we give praise unto God continually, and it is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. And I tell you, if our heart is fixed giving glory to God, we will have less time for murmuring or complaining or saying anything else. If our heart is fixed in giving thanks to God and giving praise to God and offering up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, and that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Now, would you ask God to write those two verses of Scripture on your heart? Do you remember them? Psalms 57:7 and Hebrews 13:15. You remember what they were? My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Then by Christ I will offer up the sacrifices of praise unto God, that is, the fruit of my lips continuously giving thanks unto God. Now, there's one more we should remember. There's one more that we should put to memory that we might continually come to the Lord with it. It's in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing. You know what that means? Exactly what it says. Don't worry about nothing. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And then God will do something. What is it? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, our mouth should be filled with his praise and his thanksgiving. Our heart should be fixed. We should never go to him in prayer and supplication without going with thanksgiving and entering to his courts with praise and to his courts with thanksgiving, giving glory unto God. Now, if I could, I would just bow out of your sight right now and find a hole and fall in it. Because I don't do this all the time. I desire, but I fail and guilty of this. But do you see what he says? Now, turn with me. We're going to be in the Psalms. Let's go to Psalm 96. I'm not just reading the word to take up time. I mean for it to be written upon our hearts. Psalm 96, verses 1 and 6. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. In other words, we are to give thanks and sing unto God because of his majesty. The dignity of his sovereignty. The dignity of our living God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. We should praise God then. Give him thanks for his majesty, the dignity of his office, the dignity of his power. Then Psalm 138, verse 5. I'll turn with you so you'll have time to turn. I won't read them off my list here. Psalm 138, 5. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. We should praise God and sing unto the Lord for his glory, for his splendor, and give him honor. For greatly is to be praised is our God, for great is the glory of the Lord, his majesty, his glory. And then 148, verse 13. Psalm 148, verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and the heavens. In other words, we should praise God for his excellency. Do you remember when the women asked the bride in the Song of Solomon, who is your beloved? And what is your beloved that you're always searching for him? Why is he so greater than any other beloved? And you remember, she went through in chapter 5 of Song of Solomon, and she began to speak of every part of his anatomy. And she worshipped and glorified him. And when she got finished, she said, listen, I've already run out of adjectives. All I can tell you is this. He is altogether lovely. He's altogether lovely. And our Lord should be altogether lovely to us. He is altogether lovely because of his excellency, his glory, his majesty, and his beauty. And then look at 145:3. We read it when we read that to you. Let's read it again. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. What verse of Scripture does that remind you of? Think,
Think with me a minute. What did it say? Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. What scripture does that remind you of in the New Testament? When the Apostle Paul had gone through from Romans 1, chapter after chapter after chapter of the greatness and glory of our God, and he had spelled out every truth and every doctrine of the Word of God, when he got to the end of it in chapter 11, before he started the practical part of the book of Romans, what did he do? Verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He did that. That's exactly what he did. That's what Paul did. He saw the greatness and the glory of God, and he saw that his greatness was unsearchable, and he began to praise God for it. Then let's go to Psalm 21:13. Here, the psalmist tells us to praise God for another one of His attributes. Psalm 21:13. Be Thou exalted, Lord. In Thine own strength, so will we sing and praise Thy power. Thy mighty power. Will you think with me for a moment? In your mind's eye right now, think of the hardest case. Think of an individual and think of the hardest case that you can think of. Are you thinking with me? I'm thinking of one. As far as you're concerned, they're untouchable. Nothing can get through to them. Someone told me a while ago they would have given anything in the world if one of their loved ones could have heard that message this morning. I tell you, sitting there right now, think of that individual and then think of the power of God. Think of the power of God. And give praise unto God for His power. Beloved, that's the only way any of us was ever brought from the grave of sin. Someone told me after the message this morning that if they would have heard this message a long time ago, that it went out here and said, that big bag of wind, he don't know what he's talking about. And it just left. It never come back, except God would have brought him back. Wouldn't it? God would have brought him back. The power of God. Who did you think of? 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 Think of that one who is beyond man. And think of the power of God to reach down and deliver them and give praise unto God that He's able to do it. Give praise unto God that He's able to do it. Give praise unto God for His power. He's able to do it. Now let's go to Daniel for another one of the attributes, will you? And then you will praise God when you see the wisdom of God. You know, if we would watch the providence of God working, what we get bogged down is right here. We get bogged down right here. And we do not see that God is working this whole pattern out for His glory. We see the problem. We see the things right here. We get bogged down right there instead of seeing the wisdom of God and how He's going to work it all out for His glory. Daniel, when God gave him the interpretation of the dream, he said in verse 20 of Daniel 2, Daniel answered, verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He praised Him. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and forever, for wisdom and might are His. To see God's wisdom in working it out. See God's wisdom in what He's going to do, what He's able to do, when He's able to do it. Beloved, we don't have to try to figure out how God's going to do what we're praying for. If we're praying in faith, we don't have to try to figure out how God's going to do it. Because 1,900 times out of, name it, He's not going to do it the way we think He's going to do it anyway. He's going to do it where He'll get all the glory for it. And we see it and we praise Him and give Him glory. Now, I know you're thinking with me, because I know that there are some of you sitting in this audience tonight, as far as you are concerned, you face, with friends or with loved ones or situations or circumstances, you face impossible situations. And you've got to believe the power of God is able to snatch them as brands from the burning and turn them. As you pray, do you pray in faith? And not only the power of God, but the wisdom of God and how He's going to do it, to work it out. We should give Him praise and thanksgiving for this. I read somewhere this week where this little boy was, it was at a prayer meeting, and they were asking for objects of prayer. And he timidly held up his hand and said, "Yes, Johnny, what do you want?" He said, "Will you kindly pray that my sister will start reading the Bible? She's never read the Bible. Will you kindly pray that my sister will start reading the Bible?" And they said, "Yes, Johnny, we'll pray." He got up and ran out the building. The next day, the preacher saw him and he says, "Johnny, that was not nice for you to get up and run out the building." He said, "But I wanted to be there when my sister read the Bible." He believed God would answer and give an answer. "I want to be there when my sister see her when she read the Bible." Are we believing like that? Giving praise unto God, believing that He'll bring it to pass in His time and His place for His glory. We ought to praise Him. That's His attribute, you see, His wisdom, to work it all out. And then Psalm 89 is another one of His attributes. Psalm 89:1, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. Mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt Thou establish in the very heavens." They're new every morning. "Great is the faithfulness of our God unto His people. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever." And then there's another attribute. When they got on the other side of the Red Sea, and they looked back and saw the Egyptians in Exodus 15, and God had sent them down to a watery grave, what did they do? They praised God for the attribute of His holiness. Praising God for His holiness when judgment fell? That's what they did. "Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders?" They praised God and gave Him thanksgiving for His holiness. He was holy in what He did. Is this not what we are shown in Revelation 19? When the great whore fell, Babylon the Great, and they praised God and gave glory unto Him because of His justice and His judgment and His glory, and that He brought down that great nation.
Then look at Psalms 138:2. Psalms 138:2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Turn to Psalm 51. This is the attribute of God that David pleaded when he was crying unto God for mercy. Psalm 51:1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. You know, each and every one of these that we're giving to you tonight are grounds for praise and for thanksgiving unto the Lord. And we should stop and give praise unto God for this. Someone brought to my attention last week after one of the messages last Sunday. And I'm glad y'all think with me when we preach. That the Sea of Galilee was a body of water that was always giving. The Jordan River started up in the hills of Lebanon and flowed down through the Sea of Galilee. And it came out of the Sea of Galilee, and everything that came in the Sea of Galilee, it gave out. But then the River Jordan ended up down at the Dead Sea, and it was the Dead Sea because it gave nothing out. It took, but never gave anything. You know, as we praise God, as we give Him thanksgiving, as we bring our supplications to Him, the sacrifices of our lips unto Him, and we give out in praise and thanksgiving to Him, He'll give us more to praise Him for. Our countenance will be brighter. Our outlook will be brighter. Our joy will be fuller. Our hope will be brighter. And we will be giving out to others what we take in. Do you wonder what would happen? Have you ever wondered what would happen if I would go about 6 months and never open this book except when I come to this pulpit and never read, never studied, and never did anything? If I'm not taking in, it won't be long. I'll not be able to give out. Did you know that? Same way with you. If you're taking in and you're giving out in praise as you read the Word of God and meditate upon it, and your heart is going out to Him in praise and in thanksgiving as you're taking in, you're able to give out to Him and you'll be giving out to others. I get put on the spot many a time. I gotta be ready at all times to give an account of the hope that's within me. You don't know how many times we get telephone calls and people will say, "Will you please pray for me?" And I know they want me to pray for them right then. Someone called and says, "I've got to have a promise that I'm making gold today. Do you have a promise you could share with me?" Well, I just shared the promise with them that God gave me about an hour ago. And they were well satisfied and went on their way. If we take in, we can give out. And so we should be taking in this loving kindness of God, magnifying the name of the Lord above every name, and then giving glory unto Him. Now, I could go on and there's more we could give you along that line. But I want you to go with me now to the book of Revelation, will you? And I want you to see something there. Remember, heaven begins on earth. If we never learn how to do it down here,
We will never be able to do it up there. God teacher begins to teach us down here. We don't wait till we get to 21 to learn how to walk or talk. Do we? We start off as little babes. And God doesn't wait for us to get to glory, for us to start praising Him and giving Him thanks. He teaches us down here to be able to do that. Look, we're in Revelation chapter 4. Verse 8. And the four beasts, the living creatures, had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. It's what we're going to be doing in heaven. This is what they're doing there now. They are praising God. They're giving Him thanks. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. And then look at what He says in verse 9 of chapter 5. When they saw the Lamb come forth to take the book out of the right hand of Him that sat on the throne, and then they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth, and this forever and forever. That's what they're doing in heaven. If you read on down in verse 11, And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. That's one with 18 zeros behind it. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and forever. We learn to praise Him down here. And then chapter 7. After the 144,000 are sealed, which represents the whole number of God's elect, He tells us who they are in verse 9 of chapter 7 of Revelation. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And what were they doing? They were crying with a loud voice, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne and under the Lamb. All around they were worshiping God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. And one of the elders answered and said to me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They are the redeemed. What do you think they were praising God for? I believe, Brother Ed, that they were saying, We were lost sinners. And only Christ could save lost sinners, and we're going to give Him all the glory and praise Him forever and forever. I think that's what they were saying. We are lost sinners, and none but the Lamb could find us, seek us out, and bring us in. And I think another group was saying, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and this Savior found us and resurrected us from spiritual deadness and brought us into the glorious liberty of the sons of God and made us alive in Him. And that's the reason that we're praising Him. And you look over to this group and they were saying, look, we were far off without hope and without God in the world. Oh, pagan Gentiles! And God came in His mighty power in Christ and brought us in. So we praise Him. Well, why are you praising the Lord over there? And I imagine that group said, you don't know, but we were guilty, vile sinners. I mean, the guiltiest of the guilty. But Christ came and rescued us and pardoned us and brought us to the courts of heaven that we might rejoice in Him. You believe that? I sat with a man the other Saturday, yesterday, a week ago, sat over in my house for 3 hours, drove all the way from Atlanta just to have a little fellowship. First of all, he was a Jew, lock, stock, and barrel. Father and mother, Russian Jew. Second, he was a millionaire at one time, having made all his money on Wall Street as a broker, stockbroker. Third, he owned one of the largest restaurants in New York City and had one of the most beautiful wives I ever seen in my life. I'm not going to tell her that. They're going to be here next Sunday, the Lord willing. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe she not like... But it's a picture he showed me anyway. She was a beautiful woman. And he had this lounge, taken in a lounge. And that man sat there for 3 hours and praised God that He saved a Russian Jew and had mercy upon his never-dying soul and brought him down to poverty. He sold his restaurant and his bar room for $10,000 just to get rid of it. Said he had to get out of it. Told me all what God had done for him. Don't you think he's going to praise God throughout eternity? That God ever looked down upon him and saved him by His marvelous power and by His marvelous grace? Guilty of the guilty! That's what we're going to be doing in heaven. Another group is going to say, but you don't know how we were bound. I'm telling, we were bound by the power of drink or the power of lust or the power for power. But Christ came and by His blood, He broke the power of Satan over me and set me free. Why are you rejoicing in the Lord? What I tried to describe a while ago. If God was to save that woman whom I heard speaking from Washington, D.C. and poking her hand. I didn't see her poking her hand. But I'm sure she was. I have a right to my body to do as I please with it, was she saying. Supposing God would have mercy on that poor soul, don't you think she would praise God that He'd bring such an enemy of God, an enemy of the gospel down at His feet? She would be praising Him and rejoicing in Him, and we should do the same. Where did God find you? Come on now, where did God find you? You might have been a self-righteous sinner in a church, palming all of your good works off on God. When God found you. Or you might have been a drunkard in the gutter or a prostitute in the street. I don't know you. I know your heart. So most of your backgrounds. I don't know where you were.
Well, where were you when God found you? Don't you have something to praise Him for? Don't you have something to praise Him for? Well, I look at it another way. Supposing God would take His hand off of you tonight. And leave you alone. What would happen to you? You know where you'd go, won't you? You have much to praise God for, each one of us, that He holds us by His marvelous power and by His marvelous grace, He holds us. Why do we stay under the preaching of the Word? It is because God holds us. Why do we want to hear the gospel preached? Why do we gather together to hear the Word expounded while others could spit on it? It is because of God's distinguishing grace. We're going to praise Him throughout eternity for all that He's done for us. You know why Saul of Tarsus spent the rest of his life preaching Christ? Because God unhorsed him on the road to Damascus that day when he was taking the saints prisoners, beating them and killing them. And he knew that God didn't have to do that, but he did. And he never got over it. And he kept praising the Lord. And so should you and I. And I never will forget when God unclothed me and took all of my garments off of me, of my self-righteousness, all that I was, and I stood naked before Him. Then He clothed me like He did the man in the tombs of Gadara and put me in my right mind and clothed me with His robe of righteousness. Maybe you were hungry and you were crying after Him and He gave you food, spiritual food Himself. Maybe you were thirsty and He gave you drink. You were gone. There was no hope. Then God came. And now you praise Him. And now you'll continue to praise Him. And this will be our song throughout eternity. It was God who did it. It was God who came in the person of His Son, and He was the one that undertook for me, and He was the one that made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. Well, that was what was on my heart for tonight, and I trust that God will use it, cause us to think and to meditate and to praise Him and give Him thanksgiving for all that He's done for our souls. Brother Edward, would you lead us in closing prayer?